just next door, Giriraj Govardhan. And I would like to tell you that Giriraj will hear and listen to our kirtan. We have made the experience during the Govardhan retreat that when we chant in this Lilasthan, Lilasthan means a place where Krishna performed his pastime. When we chant at a Lilasthan, then Krishna is very inclined to reveal himself. The way he reveals himself is by giving you some assurance in your heart, some confirmation, yes, I'm there. The way you know that Krishna is there is also that you feel such pleasure when you chant his name and you hear about him. You feel so pleasure, so much pleasure, and this pleasure is the sign that Krishna is just standing nearby and making a contact with you. So I request you to chant with me now. We will start with the pranam mantras to Prabhupada. Everyone can, and those who play instruments, I should say, we play very slowly in the beginning and softly. For loud dancing kirtan, we can play like the thunder in the rainy season, but for bhajan, we play very softly, not softly. When I make this sign to you, which I will most probably do a few times, that means you have to lower the volume, yes? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatadine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Govaktavinda. Please repeat after me. Namaste Girirajaya.
Namaste Girirajaya.
Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Desha Nashaya. Paramananda Dayine. Namaste Girirajaya.
Namaste Girirajaya.
Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Dayine. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Krishna,
Kisna, kisna,
Hare Krishna. After so many days chanting from morning till evening, the voice is getting a little exhausted, but I think it will come back. Now, I would like to now give a philosophical lecture, and I'm not so sure that the children will be able to appreciate. So maybe some mother should go with all the children and take care of them somewhere else, because the children will become bored. So, yes, so, yes, please, children, play, no? Hare Krishna. But then, please come back for the Damodar Ashtakam with the children, no? Vasudevaya Om Namo Hare Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya My dear devotees, I would like to speak about a few very serious subject matters today. Shubha Sham Prabhu has informed me about your situation. And I think when we come to a holy place like Giriraj, we should ask these questions and address those subjects which often remain sitting at the side of our life. We should take them away from the side, and when we are in Vrindavan Dham, put them into the center of our lives. I would like to start by telling you my last meeting with Srila Prabhupada. After that meeting, only a few weeks passed before he left this world. So, it was in London. Srila Prabhupada had decided that he would make another world tour. He was physically not really in a position to travel. When he flew to London, we booked 3 seats so that he could lie down very comfortably. I don't know, maybe there was no business class at that time, so this facility was not there. And Srila Prabhupada would not be able to walk on his own any longer. He took wheelchairs, and also he was carried on palanquin. So you can imagine, he had come from India, and a few devotees had come from Germany, and we were invited for the last darshan. We did not know that this would be the last darshan, but when we saw him, I think our hearts immediately understood he will only stay a few more weeks on this planet Earth. So when we came into the room, Prabhupada was sitting in a chair. He looked at us with a very serious expression in his face, and he asked, "So, have you understood our philosophy?" When your spiritual master asked you, "Have you understood our philosophy?" you better think twice or thrice before you give an answer. So we thought, and a few answers were given, but Prabhupada was not satisfied. One devotee said, "Savadamang parijaja, our life is meant to be surrendered to Krishna." Prabhupada was not satisfied with this answer. Another devotee said, "Yare deka tara kare kara Krishna upadesh." Whomever you meet, please give them the upadesh, the instruction of Krishna. By now, Prabhupada was a little impatient. He asked, "Yes, but what is this upadesh? What is the Krishna upadesh? This is what we want to know." We looked at each other. "Yeah, what is Krishna's upadesh? Good question." There are many things Krishna has said, but then Prabhupada gave the answer. He said, "First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. The body is born, the body gets young, the body lives its own life, and the body dies, but the soul is never born, and the soul never dies. It is eternal. It is before this time." Just imagine, there is electricity in the bulbs, and imagine one bulb will break and it will come falling down on us. Does this mean that now the electricity has also is finished? No, it is only the bulb. So in the same way, this material body is only an expression of the soul, but the soul is not dependent on the body. Once Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj has related to me something similar. When he was serving Srila Prabhupada in his last weeks and months, Srila Prabhupada, one day, he brought Srila Prabhupada something he had cooked. And he had said, I hope you get better when you eat this. Some soup, something light. Huh? And Prabhupada had answered, I only get better when I die. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj broke down crying when he heard Prabhupada saying, death is my medicine. Death is the best thing which can happen to me. He was crying. And Prabhupada looked at him. He looked at him strongly, strong and compassionate, and he said, is this what I have taught you? Have I not taught you that life is eternal, that the soul never dies? Why are you forgetting the teachings now? This is what Bhakti Charu Maharaj told me. So here again, Prabhupada is stressing or emphasizing the same point. The soul or life is eternal. It is not coming and going. Only the body comes and goes. I have heard that many of you are very sad because His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj he has left the body. Some of you are very, very sad because you loved him so much and then he just left the body. He went from Ujjain to America and there he had COVID and entered the hospital and never returned from the hospital. No? So, but if you want to deal with this distress, if you want to deal with your life, you may have to move to the next level, a level where you are no longer lamenting and where you are no longer sad. And when you move to the next level, you will most probably meet Bhakti Charu Maharaj again on that next level. Srila Prabhupada had told this to us in our last darshan, that if you understand spiritually that the soul is different from the body, then you are qualifying to come to the next level. And he had often said to us that the spiritual master never leaves the sincere disciple, but he is always present in the heart. He may leave the body and move on, but then he turns around and comes back to the sincere disciple and enters into the heart and sits in the heart. This is how many of us, older devotees who are disciples of Srila Prabhupada, have experienced Prabhupada. But we had to learn the difficult lesson which you have to now learn. That is to move to the next level where you understand that life is eternal. I would like to tell you today a little story from the Vedic scriptures that illustrates this point. Once, Indra wanted to learn about Atma. What is Atma? So he went to Brahma and said, I want to understand what is the Atma. There was someone else there. His name was Virochana. He was a Rakshasa. And Virochana also said, yes, Brahma, I also want to learn what is Atma. Oh, said Brahma, this is not so simple to understand. You should chant mantras and perform austerities and live in the ashram for 30 years. Anyways, Indra has a longer life than us. 30 years is not a big problem. It's not so much time for him. So he became very simple brahmachari with lungi, chada, shaving up like Ajit Govinda, and also Virochana, that prince of the demons. He also took chada, lived on sattvic food. He didn't eat the hearts of human beings any longer. No. Sattvic. Proper brahmachari life. Everything. And after 30 years, Indra and Virochana came back to Brahma and said, so, will you tell us now what is the Atma? We have served you for 30 years. We have been brahmacharis. So Brahma smiled and said, it's very simple. You go to the river, clear river, and you look into the water, and that which looks back is the Atma, the Self. Wow, so simple. Wow, good. So they both went, Indra and Virochana, into a river. It was actually not a river, it was still water. It was a pond. A pond, you understand? Pukur, Bengali language. Surat people speak not Bengali. So the Indra looked and he saw his beautiful face and he thought, this is the Self, this is Atma. Virochana looked, he saw his face, this is Atma. Virochana felt very happy. I'm the body. Wow. I always felt it. Myself, this is the body. Oh, nothing else. And he went back to the town of the demons. And he said, myself, is the, I am the body. And if I want to be happy, I should eat nicely. I should have a merry life, a happy life, with lots of sense enjoyment, and that's how I can practice self-realization. So Indra felt, the Atman, the Self, it can't be the body. The body gets old. The body gets disease. Sorry, the body gets a cough. The body is constantly changing. No, it feels constantly disturbed, tired and hungry. No? And when we do Govardhan Parikrama, our feet hurt. This can't be the immortal Atma. This can't be true. So, whereas Virochana was happy with this superficial answer, Indra said, I must find out the Atma. Brahma has only told us some little truth, not the full truth. So in this way, he went back to Brahma and said, I can't believe that the Atma is just the body. You have tricked me. So Brahma said, well, you only served 30 years. If you serve another 50 years, I will give you the true answer, what is the Atma. So Indra again to Brahmachari way, shaved up like Ajit Govinda, and was very, Guru Maharaj served, and he only slept for 4.5 hours a day, and so much tapasya, and only took kittari, nothing else. So in this way, he was serving. So after 50 years, he came back to Brahma and said, tell me what is the self. And Brahma said with a smile, the self is inside the body. It's our thoughts, our mind. Oh, said Indra, now I know the true self, the mind. And he wanted to go home, but on the way he thought, but my mind can't be the self either. The mind always has anxieties, lamentation. It is not able to concentrate, not even in a lecture by Satchinandana Swami. Oh, problem. The mind is not unchanging. No, I see so many changes. Sometimes I'm happy, and the next moment I'm distressed. In this way, my dear devotees, who has not yet done it, it's time to switch off your telephone and put it on flight mode, because we are from India, we have difficulty to concentrate. We have heard too many lectures, and when the speaker says, we go, tika, 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 Swamiji, tell what you want. It's okay, when will we eat something? No, this is not good. You are not from India, only the body is from India. You are meant to develop true spiritual life, not just some customary practice, no? Good. Please excuse me. So I will make the story short because it's difficult for you to concentrate. I understand. I got my lesson. My dear devotees, Indra had to learn for another 1,000 years before Brahma said to him, now you are ready to understand who you are. You are an eternal soul. You are different from the body. You are part of Krishna. You are Satchit Ananda, full of bliss. And only when, because of your false ego, this is, I think, how to speak, a little dramatic. Because of your false ego, when you identify with the body, then so much trouble happens. You have to give up this false ego that you think I'm a German, I'm a Russian, I am an Indian. You have to understand this is all Maya's trick. As long as you identify with the body, you're moved by Maya to so many situations, to so many problems, and ultimately to birth, death, old age, and disease. No? So, you may understand, you may ask the question, how will I be able, who I am, to understand who I am? How will I be able to come to the next level where I will associate with Bhakti Charu Maharaj even after his bulb, no, the light bulb, has broken? How will I come to the level where I will feel his presence, and so on? And the simple answer is that this is not so easy on your own strengths. On your own strengths, it is very difficult to understand that you are eternal. Because Maya is so strong, it pulls us again and again to the level of illusion. Again and again, Maya forces us to act upon the impulses born from the body and the mind. No? You need superior strengths. And this superior strengths, my dear devotees, you can obtain from Giriraj Govardhan. Giriraj is there, and if you approach him with a bona fide, sincere motive, Giriraj, and you pray to him, Giriraj can give you the strength how to come from the illusory level to the spiritual level. There are three reasons why Krishna lifted Giriraj Govardhan. Who knows one reason? Yes, please. He wanted to be with all of the Brijbasis together, who assembled under Giriraj when Lord Krishna lifted Giriraj, so that Indra's rain clouds and thunder clouds could not destroy. So everyone was there. Nanda Baba was there, Yashoda was there, Sudam, Shridam, all the cowherd boys were there, the cows were there, the calves were there, even the deers were there. Everyone assembled, and they could be with Krishna for 7 days and seven nights. This is not possible usually. Usually Krishna goes in the morning. He leaves the Vrindavan village and goes cowherding and comes back in the late afternoon. So only the cowherd boys and the cows can be together with Krishna at that time. But the gopis cannot be together with Krishna. The elderly people of Vrindavan cannot be together with Krishna. But now there was an uninterrupted festival of looking at Krishna. Krishna was lifting the Giriraj with his left hand and with this finger, pinky, and on the top of the nail, there was Giriraj. With the right hand, Krishna started to play his flute. Madhu Mangal said, "Stop! We have seen when you play your flute that rocks are melting. So maybe Giriraj will become a rain which will come down on us. Don't play your flute now. It is not the time to play your flute. At this moment, it is time to concentrate on lifting Giriraj and keeping him on the balance." And the Sakas, the cowherd boys, were massaging Krishna's left arm for good circulation. Mother Yashoda was very worried. She fed Krishna prasadam all the time. The beautiful gopis they looked at Krishna and had an uninterrupted darshan of Krishna, 7 days, 7 nights. So in this way, all the Brijbasis in all the rasas could associate with Krishna. The second reason why Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, anyone knows? Yes, I'm sorry.
To kill Indra's pride.
To destroy Indra's pride. Wonderful. We will make this the third reason, because it is something which I want to talk about in detail. My dear devotees, he wanted that this becomes a regular annual festival where the devotees all over the world, from all parts of India, from all parts of the world, would celebrate Krishna's dearest devotee, Giriraj. Why is Giriraj so dear to Krishna? Well, he serves Krishna in many ways. He makes nice caves so that Krishna can meet the gopis. He grows very nice fresh grass so that the cows can eat enough. There are lakes of water. There are some waterfalls of fruit juice, maybe papaya or mango juice. Woo. And in this way, Krishna finds many, many wonderful items which he requires for his pastimes. The third reason is a reason that is very important. He wanted to break Indra's pride. And this is what Krishna does for each single devotee. When Krishna sees that in our heart is this ahankara or this pride, he will make an arrangement that we will lose this pride. Because whenever we have pride, we are usually identified with this body, and as a result, our bhajan is not very good. Have you seen this maybe here when you are in Govardhan? Sometimes you may be in total body conscious, and you may think, oh, I can't wait until I'm back in Surat with my warm shower and my good sleeping arrangement, and oh, my mother will be there and cook for me, and then I don't have to take this yatra food which causes all kinds of problems for me. No? So when we are here in Vrindavan in the bodily consciousness, we cannot really think of Krishna. We are abhinivesh in Maya. We are not abhinivesh in Krishna. You can go 100 times to the holy Dharma, but if you do not come away from the bodily conscious, you will never see it. You will see it is a material place. So Krishna makes arrangements so that our false identification with the body breaks, our pride breaks. Identification with the body brings pride. Oh. Someone is proud because and has ahankar because he thinks he is the body. But someone who knows, I'm the 10,000th part of the, I'm as big as the 10,000th part of the tip of the hair. Someone who knows, I'm very small in size. There is not much to be proud of. In fact, such a person is feeling like a child, very happy. I belong to Krishna. Today we were traveling here and we saw some children sitting on the street. They had no tension. They were playing. Because the child knows whenever there is a problem, my father and mother are there. They take care. So in the same way, a devotee who always knows, I'm part of Krishna. Krishna is there. He has no tension. He knows all the difficulties which are now before my eyes. They are not really there. They are for me to learn to surrender to Krishna. Anyways, Krishna broke the pride of Indra, and I've made some notes so that I can tell you how Krishna did this. It was like this. Indra could see that it was not possible to kill the Brijbasis. He had sent all his heavy clouds. They had poured all their water over Vrindavan. But somehow Krishna had lifted the Govardhan hill and used it as an umbrella. Indra had thrown all the lightning flashes, the heavy flashes which can destroy mountains in the past. He had cut the wings of mountains. He threw all his weapons. There was only one weapon which he had not thrown. Do you know what is the ultimate weapon of Indra? The Vajra. It is a heavy, heavy weapon full of electrical energy, but a high charge, high charge. So he took his arm and he called the Vajra and he wanted to hurl it down, but Krishna decided he had enough of the nonsense of Indra. And he just paralyzed the arm of Indra so that he couldn't use Vajra. And then Krishna, who wanted to correct Indra, put Indra into a mystical trance. Who of you has been in a trance so far? It's a very one person, it's a very amazing state. You do not interact with the world through your senses, but the senses are withdrawn and you are in a state of consciousness, often pure consciousness, unaffected consciousness. And in that trance, Indra had a vision unknown to even the great yogis. Indra saw Krishna seated on a 1,000-petaled lotus flower. There was a huge lotus flower with the 1,000 petals like this. And he saw Krishna dressed in yellow garments like a cowherd boy. He was ornamented with many jewels, for instance at the arm, at the wrists, around his belly. There was a jewel garland around his neck. And he was holding a flute. When Indra had this darshan of Krishna sitting on the 1,000-petal lotus, darkness, all the inner problems went away. And Indra was able to say a special prayer. Previously, Indra had received this stava, which was like a stavaraj, from his guru Brihaspati. And when his consciousness was pure, he could remember this special prayer. This is the blessing of a pure heart, a pure consciousness. You start to remember. You remember even who you are. You remember Krishna. Only when the consciousness is covered, like in Indra's case, especially by pride, when the consciousness is tied by the knot of ahankara to this body, oh, then you forget everything. So Indra said this prayer. It's a long prayer, but it is said that anyone who hears this prayer he becomes an associate of Krishna in his next life. Would you like to hear the prayer? Well, it's very long and you have difficulties with attention. What to do? When Swami asked, do you want to hear this? In ISKCON we always say Haribol, and the louder we say it, the more convincing it sounds. But are we really convinced to sit now here for half an hour and hear a prayer? Oh, that is, it requires something. My dear devotees, to become an associate is not so simple, so I will not say the entire prayer. You have to be more qualified. Next time I see you, I will say it. But I will say a little part of the prayer. I know you. I know you. I'm also Hare Krishna. I know. We tend to need to learn to become a little bit more deep. So, Indra was in this trance, had this vision, and then by Krishna's darshan, all his consciousness was clear, and now he was able to remember in his clear consciousness this best of prayer. And it ends, the prayer ends, I bow down to you, my Lord Krishna. You are the son of Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda. You have a flute and you constantly play on the flute wonderful melodies. You are indescribably beautiful. You steal away the hearts of everyone, including the gopis. And you stay always in Vrindavan with many white cows. Sometimes when you are in Vrindavan, Radharani asks you to paint her feet red. And you do it. Sometimes you sit with her all alone. You engage in many pastimes throughout eternity. I am your humble servant. Please repeat after me. I am your humble servant.
I am your humble servant.
And I offer you my respectful obeisances. again and again and again. So then, after he had said the prayer, he saw Krishna. And my dear devotees, it was as if he saw Krishna for the first time. Have you also experienced in your life, when you are really at in a humble state of mind, where you can pray to Krishna, "Oh my dear Krishna, thank you for being there in my life. Thank you for organizing my life. Thank you for being so kind." Then you can look at the deities and you feel extremely blissful. My dear devotee's prayer is the chabi. Chabi means key. No? Also in Surat language. Chabi. Prayer is chabi to Krishna's heart. And Krishna reveals himself to that devotee who prays. So Indra, for the very first time, after 7 long days where he had fought with Krishna, for the first time, his pride was destroyed and he was able to say a prayer. My dear devotee, Krishna is waiting for each single one of us to say our prayer to him. But a prayer which comes from the heart, not a mechanical prayer, not a prayer which we have learned in some songbook. No, it is your prayer which you can pray when you have become free from the ahankara of thinking you are the body and the mind. It is the prayer which the soul is saying, and it is on this level that Krishna is truly pleased with you. My dear devotees, I wish to give you a summary now. I believe it is time for all of us to come to the next level. See, in one of his Vyasa Puja offerings, Bhakti Charu Maharaj had given actually a very nice analogy, which is about coming to the next level. There is the child, and the child cannot yet walk. It is a very young child. So the mother sometimes wants that her child learns to walk. So what she does is, she hides behind a curtain in the apartment, the child cannot see her, and she calls to her child, "Come, come, come." The child looks, "Where is mother?" And he can only guess by finding out the direction from which the sound comes. "Oh, my mother must be in that direction." So then the child gets up and starts to walk. Sometimes it falls, but again he hears the voice of the mother, "Come, come, come." How do we say "come" in Gujarat? "Aw, aw, aw." No? Like this, no? Something like this. No? So in the same way as the mother hides behind the curtain and says, "Aw, aw, aw." In the same way, Bhakti Charu Maharaj is hiding behind the curtain. He's on the other side of life, no? There's life and the body, and there's death, but then there's the other side, that is the eternal life. And he says, ow, ow, ow. And we have to now get on our feet and walk very nicely. No? You understand this analogy? I think Krishna always is there in our life, and he says, ow, 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 come. He may be hidden behind the curtain. We may not see him very clearly, but nevertheless, if we hear him patiently, oh, he can pull us and he can bring us to him just by saying, ow, 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 come, 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 come. The next level is that you what would be the level? What did Prabhupada say when he said, have you understood our philosophy? Huh? You are students, you have learned? First of all, I think this devotee remembers, yes? Speak, speak. Oh, sound is difficult or concentration is difficult? First of all, you have to understand that life is... Ha! Last minute you remembered. So, it's not so bad. We have to understand and act on that level. No? That spiritual level is required. And before this is happening, before we can learn this, our false ego, false identification has to go. No? Good. So, my dear devotees, now it is time for Damodarashtakam. Should we do? Should we see if there are any questions which you would like to ask at this moment? As the lights come in, it will take maybe a little time because it has to come. Any question? Pradeep? Sorry, it's super sharp, yes. The lights come. Yeah. Pradeep has a question, yes. What? Yes. What would that mean to stand up like the child, no, and learn to walk? It really means we have to learn to do our devotional practices with taste. Taste, how do we say taste in Surat language? Svad, yeah. You can do bhakti out of duty. You can do bhakti out of responsibility. I'm a Hindu, or I'm a Hare Krishna Hare Rama. But this will not carry you very far. You have to chant bhakti with taste. And taste, my dear devotees, is only possible If you do a little austerity, that is, you need to take your spiritual practices more serious, because through serious and austere practice, you will purify the heart from Maya. No? This is very important. Prabhupada has given 4 rules and regulations: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. These are very basic austerities. But when you have come to the level of, you know, a sober human being, then you have to do other austerities. For instance, being committed to chant 16 rounds without offenses. No? You have to learn to do that. Many devotees in our movement have not learned to chant 16 rounds regularly without offenses because they are afraid of the austerities that which you have to undergo. The greatest problem of where the offenses start is really in this ahammameti, this false identification with the body and the mind. And so many and the most visible byproduct of ahammameti, maintaining material attachments, is that you quarrel with devotees. So when I said you have to grow up, then it is very important that you come out of this mechanical practice. And the mechanical practice, you can only leave that when you do for some time a serious project to improve yourself. Our Shubhal Sham, he always has come in the past for 2 weeks to Govardhan, no? Just for serious practice. It is often very cold in Govardhan. Then the prasadam is not always on the level which we are accustomed from our mother to take. Then there's monkeys and loud marriage sound. They have this it will come very soon. He stays for 2 weeks. Very simple room, no heating system in the room, and then that purifies the heart, and then you get some taste. I think Krishna wants to see how serious we are. Prabhupada has often said, a life of an easygoing life and advancement in Krishna consciousness do not go together. No? So you need to perform a little the austerity of taking it serious, and then you get up and then you can walk, Pati. You will see, soon you will perhaps enter into another ashram, and you have to be very careful. It can be very good to enter another ashram when both are really dedicated to stand up, you know. You can lead your life on 3 levels. One is the fun-loving level, the easy-going level, the sense gratification. The second level where you can lead your life is to find out what is your dharma in this life. But the third level, that is the most happy level, is when you understand what is Sanatan Dharma. What do I have to do in relationship with Krishna? Once you understand that this is more important than earning money and having material amenities or facilities, and you show this by your sincere practice, so much comes back, and you are then able to practice Krishna consciousness with taste, and then everything is easy. No one has to tell you when you have taste what to do. You know yourself. But as long as you practice on the mechanical level, it's almost as if you are half dead in spiritual life. You are Vishvamba, you say? Oh, you have a question. Maybe one of us in the meantime should go and see where the lights are, if it is. Mataji, no? Are they there? Just being prepared. Please give me a sign when it is prepared so that we can immediately start. Yes, so here is a question. How to
synchronize them.
Yeah.
I just want to know what it means.
Wonderful question. You're a very good question. How to synchronize the things which the eternal with the temporary, with the external life, no? How to synchronize the eternal with the external? That is the question. Is this a good question? I think we all face this question. You have to set priorities. What is most important for you at this stage of your life? Please listen, it is your question. So I will say it again. We are almost 90% of our time with external things. Even now you could see, you were asking a question and then the mind is mobile telephone and how to program the mobile telephone. This is symptomatic. We know the spiritual life, but de facto means in fact, we are always pulled by this material energy, you know, and sometimes we have to earn money, and we have to do, and then when we come to the temple, We have no mind to understand philosophy. We just, just let me sit down. Life is so strenuous. Let me just do kirtan and eat prasadam, finished. And we have no idea how to make progress in spiritual life. We are totally absorbed by the life, you know, the external life. So I think you have to set priorities, at least for, you have to practice for instance twice a month. You can make a special day like Ekadasi where you put your mobile telephone on silent mode the whole day. What? This is not possible. I have my mobile telephone, even when I sleep, it's on. You know, mobile telephone connects you with the material world. What do we say? Mobile, handy? You have to fast from mobile telephone. Really, I'm serious. Start with 1 hour. Or if that is too difficult, start with half an hour. If that is too difficult, start with 15 minutes. You know, but you have to disconnect from the world and just be with Krishna undisturbed. Really, I've studied you very carefully. 50% of the audience was listening very nicely all the time, but 50% were pulling. No? I've studied. Shubhal Sham knows I'm a very dangerous man. I can see all these things. No, I'm doing Govardhan retreat all 50 times. I'm telling you, listen, it's important, no? Yeah. Or when we chant, I say, chant. Yes, we have to fast a little and put some. No, but he made 10 minutes. Let us. 10 minutes? Wow! Very good. 10 minutes. Oof. So in that 10 minutes, where you there you focus totally on Krishna. And then you will. Can I ask you how many push-ups can you do? 10? Would you like to show us? No, don't, let us not embarrass you. 7.5 is your number. But if you practice more, then you will go to 8. Then the next day you say, okay, 8 ho gaya. Then 9 next day. Then 10. It will come amazing. It will be amazing. I am at 15 at the moment. Because I practiced, you know, because when you do bhajan the whole day, you must do something for the circulation. So, in the same way as you can increase your physical strength, you must learn to increase your spiritual strength. And that is done in two ways. Fasting from Maya and increasing your concentrated spiritual practice. Maybe you want to come to the Govardhan retreat with Shubhal Sham. We are planning to do it in 2022 in the month of Kartik. We are planning. Who knows if